The following is a community service announcement brought to you by Christy Beck. Please be aware that it is not advised to listen to the Football Sack podcast whilst travelling on a bus. People will look at you funnily if you laugh out loud or smirk at one of Jack or Christian's jokes. Not easy holding it in. Thanks, Christy Beck and the Football Sack.
Many thanks to Christy Beck, aka Sydney FC Chick, is it?
That's it.
On the Twitter, she tweeted us with that public service announcement that she felt necessary for the rest of the world to know. So if you do listen to us on a bus, try and hold in the laughter. I know it's difficult. It's not that difficult. I personally don't think we're very funny, so I don't find it hard to keep the laughter in at all. I should probably do our intros for the show, because that's sort of the half-professional thing to do. So, you know, the consummate professionals that we are. Let's get into it. I'm Jack Quigley. I host the program. That's Christian Leyland. He's also hosting the program.
Hi, guys.
We are here for our weekend preview show, and it's just the two of us this week. We didn't have a third person here, so it's just more laughs for you and I to distribute.
That's right. We can just hog it a little bit.
Yes, that's right. And I see that as a plus for us and the listener.
Yeah, okay.
But not really the listener. Really the listener. They get more of my jokes. Yes. They normally get, on our Thursday show, they normally get 33% crap jokes. Now they're going to have to put up with somewhere closer to 50. We have some news to get through. We have some fixtures to look ahead to, some good fixtures to look ahead to this weekend.
Exciting times.
We have an email of the week that we got during the week that we thought was worthy of a mention. We actually got a lot of emails because we asked on our last show, what was wrong with the A-League? What was either stopping you from going, or what do you think you like about going that they should emphasise more? Mm-hmm. How do we get more crowds to the A-League? And we got a heap of responses, which was great.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you say, we said, what was wrong with the A-League? And our inbox is flooded with emails. It'd be interesting to see what we say, what's good with the A-League? And our inbox is just dry.
Tumbleweed. we got a terrific email that we're going to read out a little bit later on, which is good. You'll enjoy that.
You know what's awesome about saying that? Everyone who sent in an email holding their breath,
that's
going,
exactly
I hope it's me.
That's exactly the way I've built it up. So everyone listening to the show whose name is... I won't read out the name just yet. We will wrap up the show after that. We have our YouTube clip of the week is one hell of a clip, isn't it?
It is.
If you haven't seen this goal, it may be the best goal ever scored. Maybe. We should get into it. The show, our first news story is Franz Strucker with the Fury. He will be on the touchline for tomorrow night's game against the Glory.
Well, which is good for the Fury, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously, because the Fury appealed to the disciplinary committee, and they said, all right, we'll take your appeal. We'll give you a week to lodge your papers. So in the meantime, Franz is welcome to coach as normal. Resume his duties, as they said.
Yes, he will not be joined by Stu McLaren. Is the Fury have put their own ban on McLaren for one game? Is it?
Yes.
The other people who won't be seeing a lot of Stu McLaren this season will be the media,
and we're devastated.
Yes, I must say because Stu speaks very well. Mm-hmm. Very knowledgeable and also just deals with the media very well. He's very comfortable, gets his point across. He had a press conference after their match against the Mariners, I think it was. Was it the Mariners he was upset at? I'm pretty sure it was, the 3-2.
Yes.
Just saying how he approached one of the officials in the tunnel to query a few things about the game, most notably why they weren't allowed to take a free kick in an attacking position before the full-time whistle was blown, and how you would normally see that allowed to at least see the free kick be taken. He was slapped with a media ban for the rest of the season.
Which is a little bit harsh.
It is, and it's stupid. It stuck out to me because if you're going to censor so heavily what the coaches are allowed to say... Why hold a press conference? Why invite them to talk, but tell them what they can and can't say? I would much rather hear what the coach really thinks than what the FFA is acceptable.
Yeah, well, was it the FFA or the club who put the ban on?
No, it was the FFA.
It was the FFA. Yeah. Okay, well, see, this already is interesting, isn't it? Because it is a little bit ridiculous. Because like, all he said was we wanted to approach the fourth official to see what he had to say, but they wouldn't let us.
Yes.
Bam. Full match, full season ban.
There was nothing. If you saw the press conference, there was nothing in it. There was nothing inflammatory that he said. He wasn't aggressive in any way. There was no foul language used. It was just unbelievable that he had a season-long ban. I can't believe that at all. And I'd love to see a bit of written explanation from the FFA as to what the thought process was for that. So I doubt very much we're going to get that.
No, but it's interesting. You know, if he gets a season ban for that, imagine what Harry Redknapp would do if he was a coach in the A-League.
Yeah, a wheeler dealer. I'm not a fucking wheeler dealer. A football manager. It was funny because I think that bloke, he meant that as a compliment to Harry.
Yes.
He never meant to insult him. And he is a wheeler dealer. Some of the deals he's pulled off to sign players, when he was at Portsmouth, Diarra, who's now at Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
You know.
How does that happen?
Yes, that's right. Anyway. The other big news, probably the biggest news of the week, is we've had a coaching swap. You wouldn't even really call it a change because they're both still there.
Yeah.
Ian Ferguson has stepped up to take the reins at Perth Glory as Dave Mitchell has stepped back to become director of coaching.
Yes, yes.
Which is a position I never quite know. I would assume that a director of coaching would be the manager. Doesn't a director of coaching tell you how to coach and tell the coaches what to do? And that's what a manager does.
A manager does, yeah. It's a strange one. Because Laurie McKenna has his position at Central Coast.
He does, yes, and, that's right.
You know, in like kind of state league clubs and local community clubs where there's like, you know, about 20 teams within a club, it's actually a very important position because they get to sort of decide, you know,
who coaches what teams.
Who coaches what teams, what direction, what style of play all the teams should adopt, et cetera, et cetera. But in an A-League club, I don't know, because the head coach surely has the final decision. I think it's probably just a bit of a, you know, thank you, sit in the corner and be quiet and we'll pay
you.
Yes,
that's right. I assume that's what it is because you've got your first team and you've got a youth team.
Yes.
And basically, the youth team will have their own coach. The director of coaching, I wouldn't think, would see a lot of the youth team. So all I can assume is that he watches training and goes, yep, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good drill. Keep doing that. I don't see what a directing coach does.
It's kind of funny. In the actual... There was a bit of a release on the FFA website, and it said Dave Mitchell moves up to director of coaching.
Yeah, so he moves up in the stand, but I think backwards in the pecking order. he took the elevator
up to the second level,
the next tier, where he'll be. I would imagine a director of coaching. It's kind of like a director of football, that kind of European style thing that a lot of Premier League clubs tried to bring in and failed with. I can only imagine that's the cushiest job in the world.
It would have to be, surely.
Because basically, you're not obliged to do anything. A manager really should have the say on who he brings in. You know, you might try and negotiate a few deals, but it must be a crazy job.
It's kind of funny because in football, it seems to be that like coaches have been sacked, seem to get moved into that position. Yet in NRL, it's different. An example has happened a few times. So Jason Taylor was coach of the Rabbitohs, and John Lang got brought in as director of coaching. And within a few months, he became the coach. That's happened quite a few times.
Yes. So come in, learn the club, and then
We're going to sack the current one.
Give the coach who's not performing the flick. Yes, that is interesting. We should talk. It's Ian Ferguson, of course, who had Perth's marquee player, Robbie Fowler, at the North Queensland and didn't really get on extremely well together, I think it's fair to say. He takes the reins now. Robbie Fowler will not play in North Queensland. He's back at home in England with what the club have called personal problems that he needs to sort out. Of course, the conspiracy theorists are out already. Our own Neil Sherwin here at the Football Sack has already mentioned that during the week.
Yeah, he won't see Fowler again. So
yes, your conspiracy theorists, sharpen your pencils. There'll be plenty to be had for every game that Fowler misses that Ferguson is on the touchline for. But yes, it will be an interesting matchup, that one now, Fury Glory. Ferguson heading back up there to the old stomping ground. Frank Struck, a very different club that Struck is there now. So
it is. It is.
We shall see. We'll move on to talk about fixtures, and that is our first fixture,
On Friday night.
Which is a nice natural segue there. It is the Friday night. Let's hope for a decent crowd, because it's got the potential to be a good game, this one.
Well, it does, obviously. Yeah, the Glory, is that four losses in a row? They're staring at a club record fifth?
Yeah, they've plummeted down to seventh.
Which is crazy.
After topping the table for, it seemed like this was their year, they were going to cruise. And they've really made life difficult for themselves.
They have. Fury themselves have kind of almost done something similar, as in had a good start and then just went down. Of course, this is the replay of the first game, just reversed.
Yes.
So, both sides really, really needing the win.
I believe it was 3-3 last time?
It was 3-3, yeah. It was a couple of awesome, pretty good goals.
David Williams with that brilliant goal. Yeah,
the volley.
Let's hope for something similar.
It would be nice. Again, in saying that both clubs really need, are desperate for the win, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a draw at all.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Or 1-0.
Yeah,
something like that. I see... I think the Glory are due, but the Fury will be tough up there. Oh, I'm going to say 1-0 to the Fury.
Yeah, okay. I'm probably going to go 1-0.
Yeah.
1-0. And our non-existent guest this week?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That's different. Haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, that's right. 0-0, who picked?
Yeah.
Saturday, two big games for their own reasons. Mm. The first of which, who'd have thought that Victory versus Sydney FC would be a real battle for two teams struggling to pull themselves away from the bottom of the table?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And these two teams obviously always bring out good games, regardless of where they are on the table.
Yes.
And in comparison to each other. So it's hopefully that trend will continue.
It is a blockbuster fixture. Yes.
And so in Melbourne, so there will be a big crowd.
It's at Etihad as well.
We should point out
for anyone going to the game, don't go to Amy Park. I'm a little disappointed about, because obviously you lose a bit of atmosphere. But like you said, it's part of the deal. They have to keep playing there, and they got a pretty good deal to get out of that Etihad.
That's it. Yeah, they had years left on that contract, but Etihad kind of let them out. So it's either play five games a year there, or play all your games there.
Yeah,
so.
It's quite good, because there hasn't been too much traffic down there at Etihad, so it should be a good playing surface.
Mm-hmm.
Although you never know with Etihad, it'll probably be a sandpit again.
Yes,
looking forward to it. Should be a big game, a lot on the line. There'll be a lot of tension. Mm-hmm. Both sides will be cagey, be nervous about going forwards, leaving themselves exposed. I think it'll be tight, and I think probably 1-1.
1-1?
Yeah.
1-1, I think? Okay. I'm not sure. I'll probably go a 2-1 to Victory, actually.
Yeah. I see Victory taking the lead and Sydney FC getting one back in the second half.
Okay. That could also work. Yes.
Saturday night, another big game for different reasons. Queensland Roar, or Brisbane Roar, are just looking better and better each game.
Yes, every week.
They look great their last home game against the Heart. They went away to Perth and were able to score in the first minute and the last minute and grab a victory on the road, which is great for their confidence. They will go into this match, which we should also point out is free for under 15s.
Yes, if you're in Brisbane and you know anyone who's under 15, you have kids, you are under 15, get there.
If you have a child who plays Saturday mornings football, make sure you tell everyone at the game.
Yes.
Head to the match, bring the team, because they'll get in for free. So that'll be great. The Roar, as I said, stringing it together nicely now, playing attractive football. They'll be looking to boost themselves up the table once again. And the Jets, for different reasons, it's a new dawn for the Jets, isn't it? So, the Roar, they can't go top if they win. They won't quite catch Adelaide United. But for the Jets, who it was all doom and gloom not long ago, they will stay third from bottom, depending on other results. Regardless of other results. They'll stay third from bottom. But you do get the feeling things have kind of turned around in Newcastle.
Well, I think so. Like, they haven't actually played bad football all year. They've been playing good football.
Yeah.
They've just been missing the results, which happens some years. or some period. You know, they will turn a corner at some stage of the series, and they'll win five in a row.
If there is a league in the world that you can turn your form around and make a real late charge, it's the A-League, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yes. It's always so close.
Yeah.
Like, generally,
there's usually 6 points between, like, third and eighth. Last. Yeah.
And you know, like I said, now their future is secure off the park. All they can do is just improve on the park.
You really do get the feeling that, you know, there's a bit of tension around that place. It's just been lifted. A much better crowd for their last home game. And if they can get something from this game, that, you know, that feel-good factor will continue to breathe and to improve. And I see good things for the Jets coming up.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think so. The future is bright for Newcastle football.
Which is great. Mm. Well done. Branko, he's Branko Cilina, isn't he?
Because according to the FIFA guide, yes.
Because it's Jason Cilina. Branko Cilina on Fox Sports FC during the week said that, you know, now players are phoning Newcastle, asking them if they can come play for the club. Rumours of Joel Griffiths as well might be interested in coming back.
Yeah, well, they had rumours of Darius Vassell as well.
They have as well, yeah, I did hear that. Interesting.
I probably wouldn't be opposed to it.
Just don't let him go to Bunnings. stay away from the power tools, Rice.
Should we let people know what we're talking about there?
Yeah, if you don't know, Darius Vassell once had... Was it a blood blister on his big toe or something like that?
Yeah.
It was something like that.
Yeah, he had like a swollen toe.
Yeah, and he wanted to relieve some of the pressure under his toe so he could go to training. So having heard of how surgeons will just drill straight through your toenail, he just went out to his garage, got his power drill.
A dusty power drill.
Yes. Didn't bother disinfecting it at all. It had just been through some wood and that was good enough for him. He drilled through his foot and, yeah, relieved the pressure, but developed a nasty infection. Instead of getting it lanced by a doctor and missing a game, he was out for a few months because he just couldn't shake this infection in his toe. Darius... ever the professional?
Yeah, no, it was quite
not funny. A great goal scorer, but a scorer of great goals when he does. He's scored some good ones in his career.
He's scored some really good ones. He scored some shockers, though. The one against Sunderland comes to mind, where he was aiming for the top right-hand corner, scuffed it. Yes. Went to the bottom left, but the keeper dived, so it just rolled in there.
He sold the keeper brilliantly.
And then he celebrated like he scored the winner in the World Cup.
If you've sold yourself and fooled yourself, how is the keeper knowing where that ball's going? Mm-hmm. So it's like Mitchell Johnson for the Australian cricket team. If he has no idea where he's spraying the ball when he's bowling, the batsman has no chance. Yes, yes. And that's the only reason he gets wickets.
Cool. So anyway, I'm going to go 2-0 raw.
Yes, so am I. Mm. I see a good atmosphere, a good game of football. Two teams who like to pass the ball. Aren't they? Yes. So, get yourself along to that one if you're in Brisbane. Get to the match, enjoy it, and see some good football. Sunday, we go to Windy Wellington, where we have the possibility of a bit of history, actually. Wellington, if they win, will...
Or draw,
that's correct. It's an unbeaten record. Will be aiming for their 24th consecutive undefeated match at Westpac Stadium.
Which is crazy.
It is, yeah, unbelievable. Mm. It's how many was Chelsea at Stamford Bridge? They were like 53 or something ludicrous
something
like that.
Yeah.
And this record of 24 would create a new Australian National League record for not losing in consecutive matches at the same venue. The previous time a team went for 23 undefeated matches at a venue was when Sydney United went 23 consecutive matches without defeat at Sydney United Sports Centre from 1996. The 1999. So,
was that when Branko was in charge of United, or was that?
Oh, that's a good shout. Mm. It may well have been actually. Mm. Jason may have even been playing for them for a short period there. Branko Cilina and Jason Cilina in the same team. That's
who
awkward.
It, yeah.
they take on the Heart. It's fifth against eighth, but I think Wellington are better than their fifth. Place tells them they just can't win away from home.
Yes, this is
so
true.
I would think that they'll get the points here. I think the Heart, they had a great weekend last weekend. Spirits will be high and they'll be hard to beat, but I do see Wellington picking up the points here.
That's my actually exact thoughts. I think, you know, Heart are going to be up for it.
Yeah.
And if very lucky, they could pick up a draw, but you can't say it.
No, yeah. I see 2-1 to Phoenix.
That's,
I think
that's what
really
I was thinking. Yeah.
Are you reading my thoughts?
I'm not sure because you read
my
thoughts
my head.
Last game.
Yeah, get out of my head. Yes, good point. Mm. Looking forward to that. And it should be some good football played.
Yeah,
as well.
Hope so. Yeah,
it's a good footballing round, and I think that it will be capped off by what should be a good game for the last game of the round, although we are missing Marcos Flores, of course. Mm-hmm. It's Gold Coast United against Adelaide up at Robina. And Bruce Jatte in good form. Kalina always in good form. Mm-hmm. Taj Minicorn, not in good form. It would be nice to see young James Brown get a start up there.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so, because he was impressive.
He was very good. Adelaide United, lost Marcos Flores in that Sydney game and somehow came back to win it. Ramsey got a new contract out of that game, mm-hmm. which is great, Ian mm-hmm. Ramsey. And, of course, Leckie just continues to look great. I think the pattern for this one will be Adelaide will play on the break. That's their strongest style of play. I think, especially without Flores, they won't look to hold on to the ball too much. Mm-hmm. They'll look to be quick, especially with Leckie, Pantelis, those kind of players. And I see Kalina wanting to hold on to the ball for the Gold Coast. So I think that both teams will be happy for the Gold Coast to have the ball. It's just whether the Gold Coast can break Adelaide down and whether Adelaide can catch Gold Coast out getting a bit lazy on the break. So
yeah, okay. It's going to be an interesting one because the Gold Coast, you know, defence is all right, but it's not exactly solid.
Oh, yeah.
And Christian Rees was pretty awful when we went up.
He was.
And, he's generally pretty awful.
Yeah.
Except when he plays against the Roar, he seems to score, so...
Yes, that's right, yeah.
But anyway, I can see Gogo's being very vulnerable on the break. I mean, that's how Wellington scored against them last game as well. Yes, it was a penalty, but it came from the break. I have to go Adelaide here.
Really? Away win?
Away win for me.
The league leaders, you're backing the league leaders, Gold Coast United in fourth. I am backing Gold Coast United to get the points, which hopefully will please the beach up there, of course, that we're good friends with, and could potentially send Gold Coast second 3 points if results go their way.
No, which isn't too bad, because they had a pretty torrid start, to be fair.
Yes, that's right. So, things have picked up there. They're looking sharp. And, of course, what we'd all love to see is Gold Coast to go 3-0 up.
Of course, yes.
So Miron
jumps into the beach.
And
I can't remember the name, but he's the committee member.
He's on the committee of the beach. He gets to go wear Miron's jacket and sit on the bench. I don't think he quite gets to pick the team, but that would be good, yeah. That'd be great to see.
Yes, it would be.
Prediction, you're going Adelaide to score?
Ooh, it's a tough one, because I'm not sure. I'm probably just going to go 2-1.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to say 1-0 to the Gold Coast.
Okay,
I think Jatte will continue his good form and score again.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
Was there anything else?
You don't see Adelaide scoring at all?
No.
Okay.
I just think they're due to have a dry game eventually.
Last week wasn't dry enough for you against Sydney.
Well, they scored twice.
Oh yeah, but it was a lucky win. That could have been their wake up call. They have to actually kind of stand up and play better again. They can't just cruise.
Yeah, fair game. You scored 2 in.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah, the week before the Raw scored. In the same weekend, the Raw scored in the first minute and the last minute. So same, you could say they played for 88 minutes without scoring in that game.
Though they dominated the whole game, Adelaide did not. That's my point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway, we should get through this letter because it's.
Yes, we should. It's our email of the week. It's come from Rob.
Now, who is it?
It's Rob Matthews in Brisbane. I think he's a Man City fan, judging by his email address.
Which
we won't read out on the air, but it does incorporate the name Manchester City.
Okay, just a quick shout out for Rob is he has just started a branch of the official supporters club for Manchester City. Any football fans basically in Brisbane who wants to join up, check what Manchester City about, get in contact with him. I'll have the details up on Twitter on the site somewhere.
Okay, great.
Because they're trying to get that up and started. So they just want to invite everyone because they just want to get the branch up and started. So jump aboard in prison. Continue.
Good stuff. We asked on the last show what your improvements would be for the A-League, and we asked you to email in. We got a heap of responses. Honourable mentions, Blake Hampton emailed us with a good email. Ashley Madden, we had an email from her. Her main point was that there should be more streakers, and that's why she would go to games, which is fair enough. Female. We're used to seeing female cheerleaders at games. Maybe we should have some male ones. Blackburn Rovers have a male cheerleader.
Do they really?
Yeah, there's one male.
Blackburn has cheerleaders?
Yes. It shows how corny they are. The Hammers used to have the Hammerettes, but they've since kind of done away with them.
Yeah, okay, right. And also Victory blog.net also sent in one, which was
a notable one, wasn't it? Yes, that was good. That was probably our lead contender for email of the week, other than Rob Matthews. Rob said, "Hi guys." So it's good so far.
Basically, we got heaps of letters, are all good, but this one basically summarised them all and probably was the better of them.
He says, just listen to Podcast 28. Good work as always. Thank you very much. Anyway, with regard to improving the A-League attendances, here's something I've been banging on for about 4 years. I think I may have mentioned parts of it to Chris on Facebook chats, which is, of course, you.
That would be me, yes.
Problems. Number one. Bums on seats. Well spotted. It's been steadily going downhill for years. For some reason, the A-League thought they had a brand that was on par with the NRL and the AFL. They don't. Other codes have the best players in the world at their chosen sports right on your doorstep. Yeah,
fair enough. You can't argue with that.
Yes, there's no real add to that. That's a very valid point and correct. Number two, ticket prices. And I agree with this one because we got the cheap seats for Gold Coast last week when we were out there, and what was it, $23 or something?
Yeah, and that was for a concession. So
yes, that's right. We were able to whip out our old student cards and use those. No, we didn't.
So if you have an old student card, definitely don't whip it up because they definitely won't check the date.
Yes, that's
don't
right.
Don't do that ever. Yeah.
The ticket prices. The A-League could not have chosen a worse time to increase ticket prices to be on a par with the two sports listed in point one, the NRL and the AFL, if you've just turned on your phone and you're listening to this, which wouldn't happen because we're not live. You would start from the start of the show. The credit crunch and potential redundancy never sits well in the family budget, which is fair enough. It was pretty silly increasing ticket prices in the middle of a global financial crisis.
Yes.
I know most Premier League clubs put a freeze on season ticket prices that tend to go up every season regardless, just the way that wages go up. I think Bolton Wanderers is the only team in Premier League history to ever lower their season ticket prices.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you've got to give them that, don't you?
Well, yeah. Nobody goes, though. Yeah. But, number three, maintaining and attracting revenue. There's nowhere near enough money coming into the game. This needs to be remedied ASAP. Which stands for as soon as possible.
ASIP.
All clubs will go to the wall. That's good. He's pointing out his problems. But the best part about this email, he offers some solutions. And here they are. I should say potential solutions for I'm no financial whiz kid or marketeer. Number one, the A-League needs to get every member club into schools.
Definitely.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Flood the junior market with free tickets for kids, as we've seen the Raw do this weekend. Not just a one-off like next week, but meeting this week, but from now on until the end of the season. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, well, definitely.
You're going to sell... If you drag a kid to a game, the kid's going to want to eat something, he's going to want to drink something. Yeah. So there's your ticket price.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, the kid, not only is the kid going to want to eat something, drink something, he's going to have to bring a parent or two.
Yes.
So you know, let's say there's three people coming along, two of them pay for tickets. That's good. And then they're all going to eat, they're all going to drink.
It's
and
money that you just would not have got if the kids' ticket
that's right. And the best thing is, they'll enjoy themselves and they will come back.
I'd be really interested if there's anyone listening to this who's going to go to the Raw game because of the promotion this weekend. We'd love to hear from you.
This is true.
Tell us why. Now I've lost my place in the email, so I'm scanning through. For every kid that comes through the gate, there's a marketing opportunity, increased revenue from catering, which I pretty much just said, match programs, etc., etc. There's nothing to lose here. It's an absolute no-brainer. Crowds are dwindling. Don't allow them to go. Fight for them. Correct. His second solution point is, except that the A-League isn't a massive draw card yet, and we should stress yet, and he has. It could be, though. Pitch the costs accordingly. Here in Brisbane, we have the Broncos, a massive draw for locals. We also have the Lions, who are again on the cusp of having another very successful AFL team. Revenue, where to start? FFS, which stands for goodness sake.
if spelled incorrectly.
If spelled incorrectly. This really pisses me off, and by the sounds of it, it does.
Yes.
He says, I am, as Christian knows, a massive Manchester City fan. However, I always go to the Raw home games and often fly to away games when the missus lets me. Well done. What I don't do, though, is buy Raw merchandise very often, and the reason is this. practically every month I buy new Manchester City Football Club polo shirts and replica kits. I do this because I buy replica kits for around $80 delivered to my door here in Brisbane. If I go to Rebel Sports, I'll get flogged for $130. Sorry, Raw, I can't justify that spend to my missus for a football shirt. $100 for a Ben Sherman is okay. That's a brand. Brisbane Raw, not okay. Also, if I get polo shirts delivered to my door for around $40, I'd be looking at $80 for a Raw polo. Ain't going to happen if I buy two City shirts for the price of just one solitary Raw polo.
Okay. All kind of fair points. Yes, it is expensive. But I actually went and had a chat to Sydney FC's marketing director, merchandising director, about this. And it is totally out of the club's hands.
Is it a Reebok thing, is it?
It's an FFA thing. What happened when the A-League started... not many people know this, but when the A-League started, the FFA forced every A-League club to sign a merchandising contract, which put the merchandising into the FFA's hands.
Okay.
So what happens is FFA controls the pricing, they control what comes out, scarves, you know, shirts, whatever. And it's a three-way process between the merchandiser, so say Reebok, FFA, and the actual club for the design. But the prices and stuff are all done by the FFA.
Ah.
And it's something the clubs want to get out of, but they can't.
Yes.
Because they had to sign up at the start to get the license.
That's the thing about contracts, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, bugger. But it was also at the start because the clubs didn't have big, you know, a lot of facilities and et cetera. They couldn't do their own.
They were quite happy for the FFA to handle merchandising, yes, weren't they? Yeah.
But now they want it back, obviously, because it's they're getting to the stage where they're big enough to handle it themselves. They have all the infrastructure and they want the proper revenue. Because obviously for most other clubs in the world, merchandising is a major source of revenue, but for A-League clubs, it is actually such a small blip, it's not really worth registering.
Yes. His email goes on to obviously, much in the way that we said, you know, taking a kid for free, and if he buys chips, there's money for chips you wouldn't have got if the kid didn't go. He says you'd sell more shirts at $80 a pop than you would at 130, which is true.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
And the same goes that you'll get more people through the gates with cheap tickets than less people with expensive tickets. You'll get more money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions marquee players and the need to bring them in. And look, marquee players work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fowler works in Perth. Dwight York worked in Sydney. The Jets have embraced every marquee player they've ever had.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, marquee players work, and it frustrates me that clubs don't use them. The FFA, is there a suggestion that the FFA could perhaps fund a marquee player or give clubs money, but they're only allowed to use it if it's a marquee player?
Well,
and an approved marquee player, Nick Carr. Very good footballer, but not a marquee player.
Yes. It's a good suggestion, actually, but Frank Gray just came out not long ago and said that they're actually looking at limiting, like taking away a marquee player license, taking away a foreign player license because the clubs are having financial troubles. So they're actually taking it away rather than adding to it or encouraging it, which is, okay, all right, short-term money-wise, yes, but long-term, you know, you need to... I don't know, it's a tough one, but you want to see the marquee players.
Which, because the marquee player gets your brand out there.
That's right.
It gets it
right.
Talked about.
Well, I mean, look at Soccer AM, one of the biggest football shows in the world. Every week, they talk about Perth
on the
Glory
A-League.
On the A-League, yeah, because of Robbie Fowler.
Exactly.
The more marquee players you have, the more opportunities like that there will be.
Yes, like you said, yeah, Soccer AM... Every week, do a cross. They show the highlights of Perth Glory's games. Yes, they take the piss. They put on two...
what's it called? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I'm an A-League celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Yeah, based on the TV show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. But hey, like you said, that show goes all over the world. And it shows Perth Glory's game in highlights every week.
That's
so,
that show literally goes to every country which has a football fan base, which is every country in the world.
Yes.
And
and when the Fury first came in, there was rumours they were going to sign Jade North as their marquee player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a marquee player.
No, it's not.
Thankfully, that didn't happen. They did get Robbie Fowler in the end. And they used to do the same thing on Soccer AM for the Fury, but obviously we just didn't see it because it wasn't being televised here
during
that time. Final points that Rob made... he says, and may I close this rant with one final point, and it's quite a rant too, but
okay,
a good one.
Right.
Brisbane Roar crowds, as an example, have dropped 60 to 70% since season one, and you're forever telling me about this. I don't need to be told again. Most of these will never be back because they've gotten into the habit of doing other family-orientated activities on the weekend. The A-League have to recognise that inducing people back to the game may prove to be the easy bit. Getting them to stay might be another. It won't be easy, and so the clubs have to make sure that they have truly dedicated people in the right marketing jobs, not some prick who's there solely for the salary. A lot of this habit thing comes from the fact that we never know what time your team's going to play the next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew that your team played at 5 p.m. every Saturday,
yes,
you'd get a lot more habitual people going to the game. They have done a bit of research, as you said, the Raw this season. Almost all their games are Saturday nights.
Almost all, yes.
Which is great, because if you're a Raw fan, you know, you've only got to know the dates of your games, and there are most chances are you will be playing a Saturday night or an evening. I think that's the way to go. Each club needs to work out what their biggest sellers are. Not Salazar that used to play for Sydney FC. that was good.
That was actually very nice.
So, no, everyone don't go out and try and sign whatever his name is, Antonio Salazar. I don't even remember his first name. His dad won the New York Marathon.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I've lost my train of thought. Yes, and work out what your biggest gate time is and try and lock that in for the season. Perth gets a lot of afternoon games, evening games. Sundays is a lot.
Well, that's it. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
We have that many thoughts to get through on the topic of how to grow the game that we crown them all together.
This has been one of the more serious
Thursday shows.
Normally it's like jam packed full of jokes and stuff.
It's chockers. It's a traffic jam.
Chocolate and jam. That'd be a good combination. Actually, I love jam.
Yeah, you do.
But it's weird. So it's been a bit. It's more serious this episode, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're moving up in the world, or maybe we're just, I don't know.
Yes. We should talk about Betfair, who support us. Mm-hmm. We always thank them.
Oh, they do. They do support us.
Yes. So go to our site, click on the Betfair link, open up a $30 account, and have a $50 free bet on anything you want.
Anything at all.
footballfansdownunder.com we should also thank. Terrific football site. Go check it out. I'm sure that Rob checks it out, because he's trying to set up a Down Under based football supporters club.
Yes.
So he can, I'm sure that he's been there. If you go to footyfansdownunder.com and you follow Manchester City through them, then you should check out Rob.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Our YouTube clip of the week, before we wrap up, is worth a mention. We said it may be the best goal ever scored. It's definitely up there.
It's up there.
Not Ronaldo, not Kaká, not Robinho, not Ronaldinho. It's Matty Burrows from Glentoran. He's a 24-year-old, I'm pretty sure, is it the Irish League? I'm fairly certain it's the Irish League. Maybe it's Northern Ireland.
Okay.
I think it might be.
I'm not actually sure. We might want to get that straight.
Yes. Anyway, that's not the important thing. The important thing is he scored a goal for Glentoran against Portadown last weekend. You likened it correctly to Zlatan Ibrahimovic's goal at Euro 2004.
Against the Italians.
Against the Italians for Sweden, where he's... you know, on about, how far out was he? On 8 yards, something like that, 9 yards. And the ball dropped sort of behind his shoulder, and he jumped and back-heeled it into the top corner. This one, it's from a cross.
It's from a cross.
And it's a volley, and it comes in behind him. It's right from the top of the area, too.
Yeah.
And he jumps, turns his back
on
it.
Does the exact same thing.
Pivots and back-heels the ball into the net, over the goalkeeper and into the net.
It's brilliant.
Quite an incredible goal. We will tweet a link to later today.
Yes.
Which will basically be up as while this podcast's up. So you can, while you're listening to this, go check out the link. If you just want to go to YouTube, just search Matty Burrows, Glentoran goal. Matty Burrows probably will do. I don't think he scored that many other goals that have made YouTube. That's the Thursday show. We're out of time, which is a shame, because we were really getting stuck into today's show. So let's wrap it up for today. Thank everybody for listening.
Cool. Come back on Tuesday. We'll have our wrap up, and on Thursday we'll have a more light-hearted, serious show.
Yes. Because we kind of opened up the topic on Tuesday, to improve the A-League, which is a topic that we're both passionate about, I gather most of our listeners will be passionate about.
Well, with the impact they had.
Yes, that's right, with the flood of emails we got. If you still haven't got around to email us, but you have more thoughts, please do keep them coming. More discussion points for the future. We enjoy the correspondence, and if you just want a shout-out, we won't give you one.
No,
you've got to give us something to work with.
That's it.
I've been Jack Quigley. That's been Christian Leyland.
fairly well.
Take care, guys, and we will see you Tuesday.